Welcome to Money, Markets and Masterminds, a Citywire South Africa podcast that delves into the intricate world of finance, investment and strategic decision making. If you're a fund selector or an independent financial advisor looking for insights, analysis and expert opinions to enhance your perspective, you're in the right place here with me, editor Ruan Uester. Today, we're diving into a crucial topic that affects many investors and retirees, default regulations. We'll explore what these regulations mean for investments, the role of trustees and advisors, the setup of the investment policy statement, and the strategies for post-retirement products like annuities within this context. Default regulations require a board of a defined contribution pension and or provident fund to provide one or more default investment portfolios to its members once every 12 months or so, and to instruct the fund to transfer their retirement savings account to other investment options. It formed part of the amendments to the regulations issued under Section 36 of the Pension Funds Act, which was published in the Government Gazette in August 2017. These rules were implemented on 1 March 2019. I invited Johan Piens into the studio today to explain the role of financial advisors in this whole process and why it is important for them to advise their clients about these laws regarding retirement funds and if and how such standardized practice could or should help members get good value for their retirement savings and to retire comfortably. Johan is an independent registered financial advisor with the Financial Planning Institute of South Africa and an independent consultant in the industry as well. Johan has a BCom in Business Management and Finance from the University of Pretoria and a Certified Financial Planning Diploma from the University of the Free State. He also has postgraduate qualifications in both employee benefits and taxation. He currently serves on the Employee Benefits Committee at the FPI and is an ExCo member at the South African Independent Financial Advisors Association. Welcome, Johan.
Thank you. Thank you, Ruan. Welcome.
Johan, let's start with the basics. What are default regulations and why do they exist in the first place?
Ruan, these regulatory guidelines that governs how retirement funds and investment portfolios should be managed, particularly for individuals who do not actively make investment choices, specifically thinking about pension funds, where members don't always understand or want to make investment choices. These regulations are designed to protect investors by ensuring that their funds are managed prudently, even if they take a hands-off approach. We also just want to mention that there is bigger regulatory environment that we work within, and this extends to your annuities, portability of your benefit, as well as in benefit counseling.
Johan, trustees play a pivotal role in the process, and they are the fiduciaries responsible for managing retirement plans and ensuring they comply with all relevant regulations. One of their key responsibilities is to establish an investment policy statement, or IPS for short. But what exactly is an IPS, and why is that important?
An investment policy statement is essentially a roadmap for how a retirement plan's assets will be managed. It outlines the fund's investment objectives, strategies, and risk tolerance. The IPS serves as the guiding document for the trustees and investment managers, helping them make decisions that align with the best interests of the plan participants. When setting up the IPS, the trustees need to consider various factors and include things like demographic profile of the plan participants, their risk tolerance, and the investment horizon that these members are investing within to get to retirement. The IPS also details the default investment options for those who do not make an active choice. So where the member does not actively choose an investment, there needs to be a default option available. These default options are crucial because they ensure that participants' funds are still being invested in a diversified and prudent manner, even if they don't engage directly with the investment choices. And this is all done within Regulation 28. Additionally, the trustees should ensure that retirees have access to financial advice. This can help them make informed decisions about how to manage their retirement savings, including whether an annuity is the right choice for their specific circumstances.
Yuan, now let's talk about annuities and post-retirement strategies and where the role of the advisor becomes more prominent. Once individuals retire, the investment needs change. How do they move from the accumulation phase to the decumulation phase? And where does the focus shift to generating a steady income from their savings for investors come from?
Yuan, the annuities are a popular choice for post-retirement income. They provide a guaranteed income stream for life, or for a specified period, which can be a great way to ensure financial stability in retirement. However, choosing the right annuity product can be super complex. This is where the Board of Trustees come in. They need to offer a range of post-retirement products that cater to the diverse needs of their retirees. And this is in terms of the annuity default that they look into setting for the fund. Strategies for offering these products include providing clear information about the different types of annuities available, such as living and life annuities. Generally, in the default environment, we talk about living and life annuities, and they all have different nuances that need to be considered, and for that, you need to speak to a financial advisor. Board should always consider default annuity options for those who prefer not to make an active choice. These default options should be designed to meet the general needs of most retirees, balancing security and potential growth within the fund.
Yuan, a common thread through these regulations is appropriateness, clear communication, and fair value for members. These principles echo the requirements of treating customers fairly and are meant to result in better outcomes for customers. So what role do advisors play in this whole process?
It is important to understand that in the corporate environment, we need to follow the exact same compliance steps you would follow in providing an individual with financial advice, which includes yearly reviews, and in case of a fund and a participating employer, this would be done in the form of a management committee meeting. At these annual meetings with the client, the advisor would discuss matters like claims, investment performance, and other important fund matters like changes in law and regulations, and how to communicate with members and other stakeholders. These meetings ensure that as an advisor, not only am I building a strong, trusting relationship with the client employer and fostering accountability, but we are also focusing on providing information and communication to members and all other stakeholders on the fund for that matter to make better, more informed decisions, ensuring that members stay at the heart of what the fund is trying to achieve, being a retirement benefit when they can no longer work due to old age. As an example, let's take the current issue in the industry, being non-payment of contributions in terms of the Act. Recently, the FSCA also put out a naughty list on their website, which includes the funds which are problematic. This matter here is best addressed in a committee meeting, where questions can be asked by management and members on the fund, especially in this case, where members' monies have not been paid over by the employer to the fund, and the fund is in contravention of the Act. In most cases, we find that members are never even aware that they had to have a meeting, your annual review meeting. And this is where matters like this is discussed, and we wouldn't have seen 25 years of members not receiving contributions. The members would have known on the spot, and they would have been able to do something about it. So exactly like you would do in your own individual financial practice when seeing a client, the financial advisor would play that role for his employer, ensuring that they are compliant, communicating, and seeing things like performance and how the fund is operationally working.
Johan, let's talk about risk products on existing funds. What are some of the important factors for existing members to consider to ensure such cover continues after retirement? And what are some of the continuation options that advisors can offer their clients in this regard?
Cover to continue during disability. This ensures that cover, especially death benefit cover, remains in place for a member if they become disabled. Three things would happen to a member when they get disabled. They either retire from their disability, they pass away due to their disability, or they recover from their disability and go back to work. In the case of passing away due to the disability, this ensures that cover continues and gets paid to the beneficiaries of that disability claimant that passed away. In terms of a continuation option is a benefit provided to members where they can convert their risk benefits into their personal capacity. In most cases, this would require them to do a medical for only a smoker's test and an HIV test, and doesn't require much else from the member. So there's no other medical requirements when converting this benefit into their own name. The benefit of this is that in most cases, again, the member doesn't have to do any medicals, but also there isn't too much of a jump in price when converting the benefit from this fund to their personal capacity.
Johan, as a final point of discussion, how will the two-pot pension system that is supposed to go live on 1 September and where members will have the option to withdraw a small portion of their savings on an annual basis have on the default regulation regime, if at all? And will the upcoming reform measures make the role of retirement benefit counselling for many financial advisors, which they can do, even more important than before?
Ruan, I don't think the two-pot system will have much of an impact on default regulations. The reason why I say this is from my engagement in the industry and speaking to all kinds of different providers out in the industry, it seems that the view is your pension fund is still a long-term investment and therefore needs a long-term horizon, and therefore you need to grow your money. So we're essentially looking at still increasing or having these growth portfolios available to members, and there will be no defaulting out of these growth portfolios. That would be the default. If the member wants to move out, they would actively have to opt out of this default regulation to go into another type of investment, which would suit them if they wanted to access this money on a yearly basis. But most funds seem to have the view that this is a long-term asset, so therefore we remain in some type of growth strategy, which is still in a life stage in most cases, and therefore no changes unless the person actually comes or the member actually comes to the fund and says, I want to actively choose to opt out of this long-term strategy and move my money into a more conservative or more shorter term investment horizon where I can invest and get my money out in a year's time. In terms of benefit counseling, I think it's going to become even more important, and not just from a counseling perspective, I think from an advice perspective. Again, the problem or the views that I've got here is that most members will need assistance in understanding how these different pots are put together, what the impact is going to be on the short term, what the impact is going to be on the long term for their retirement. And therefore, we need to ensure that they actually get advice within their funds. Benefit counseling can only give facts. We actually need people to receive advice inside of the fund to make informed decisions before they access any of the savings money. What they need to understand is that it's an emergency fund and should be used for emergency reasons. It creates liquidity in the financial plan. So if there is a need for a member to have that liquidity, they need to understand the implications, where they invest, when they exit that fund and take the money in cash, what are the tax implications, what is the long-term implication on my fund, as well as the investment strategy on that portfolio, and what is that going to do potentially to my retirement outcome in the long run. So therefore, people need to think carefully, super carefully, engage with financial advisors before they even think of accessing their savings pot or emergency funding from their pension fund due to the long-term and short-term implications.
Well, that's all the time we have for today. And thank you, Johan, for joining us today and for providing your insights on default regulations, retirement benefit counseling, and annuity strategies related to that. To all our CityWire South African listeners, thank you for tuning into this episode of Money, Markets, and Masterminds with me, editor Ruan Huester. If you enjoyed the episode, please don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and share it with your network. We are available on all major platforms such as Spotify, Google, and Apple Podcasts. Until next time, goodbye.